All right, here we are. Kathleen is taking care of Chance in the other room this evening. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who has been so kind with your comments regarding Chance and his training and what he's going through right now to become a therapy dog. So he's still very young. He's 10 weeks old and just full of beans. I was out working on the barn, on the front door to the barn today, and he decided that he needed to dig holes. So I said to him, I want a hole there, one there, and one there. And he dug three holes for me. So his natural instinct is just amazing. He's a real character. It's a lot of fun. Couple of programming notes as we just roll into tonight's live stream. Doug, I think we've got the audio up to a pretty good level now. Doug Diamond from Diamond Digital Media keeps the wheels on the aircraft at Patch Airlines, and just trying to make things easier on Doug at the post-production end of things following the live stream. A couple of other programming notes. We have something in Subscribestar known as the Talking Tiers. And at that level, we invite you with those Talking Tier levels to have a conversation with us, with me individually or Kathleen and myself together. Let's see, Doug, yeah, I think I can boost it a little bit more. Give me just a second here, folks, I'm gonna adjust the levels. But Talking Tiers, we are inviting you to participate in a private conversation either by cell phone or by Skype. With myself and Kathleen. And let's see. Okay, Doug, I've got it all the way up in the master audio board now. So I'm talking about two subjects at one time here, sorry. If you are not at one of the Talking Tier levels in Subscribestar and you would like to speak with us, please just join us at one of those Talking Tiers, and we'll be happy to speak with you. If we haven't spoken with you yet this month, we're now a little over halfway through the month of May. If we've not spoken with you and you'd like to schedule some time this month, please email either myself or Kathleen. You can use the contact tab at anthonypatch.com, and that will go directly to me, and then we can set that up. If we've already had an opportunity to speak, then let us know what your schedule looks like for early June, and we will begin that process. So thank you all for your participation. Also, Doug is letting me know if people want to upgrade their tier level, please contact Doug Diamond, and you should have his email, or you can send it to me and I'll forward it on to Doug. But he will be involved in that process with you, as he was when you first signed up for Subscribestar. Again, literally nothing would be happening here if it was not for Doug's expertise and professionalism and his commitment to all of you, as well as to Kathleen and myself. So he's here to help, and that's what he does. Also want to say congratulations to Rich and Vicky on their 50th anniversary. Please join us in band in celebrating their 50th anniversary. That is remarkable. That is incredible. 50 years together. That is a miracle in and of itself, I would say. So congratulations, Rich and Vicky. On kind of a sad note, I just want to give you a follow-up to the situation with our neighbor next door that we've been periodically updating you with. The our neighbor, husband and wife, live with the mother of the wife, and she has had several heart attacks and several other things. Today she passed away at age 91 at home with her family. As Kathleen mentioned a few days ago, she was brought home from the hospital with the hospice program, and all of her family and extended family have been at the home next door to us for several days, and she was at peace with what was going on. She knew that it was time for her to pass on, and so she was very cognizant of what was happening. She suffered another heart attack, the third in the last couple of days, and finally passed away. She was on morphine, so we are expecting that she passed without suffering, and that was our prayer, that she wouldn't suffer in these last few days. But 91 years old, she was quite remarkable. She had gone through recent hip surgery and was up moving around with her walker outside in the front yard every day and taking care of the dog, and just amazing, amazing. So very sad. She's a very nice lady. Last programming note, Kathleen posts quite a bit in band, as you all know. And, you know, we make a few simple requests regarding band and postings. When she puts up a particular topic, we would appreciate it if everyone within that specific topic that she has posted, that everyone stay within reason, stay within that topic, that specific topic. You know, oftentimes we note that people start straying off and posting things about the president, or posting things about UFOs, or whatever it may be, and it's completely not germane to that particular posting. And so we make an effort to try to have some continuity and consistency in the postings, and that helps everybody. That helps everybody. We try very hard to create a learning environment, a sharing environment, an environment that is helpful and uplifting for everyone that's participating here. And that's a rarity. You know, this isn't YouTube land. This isn't the other broadcasting venues where, you know, it's kind of a free-for-all and all kinds of things happen. And we've tried over the last 5 years to make this a very adult environment. Yes, a very serious environment, because we are, as I said, trying to learn. All of us are trying to learn together. So it's classroom decorum, if you will. That's all I'm saying there. Okay. As you can tell by the title floating above my head, this is entitled Sin, S-I-N, hyphen bio. And I'm kind of playing on something, which is synthetic bio, Sin bio, S-Y-N, as it is known in the trades, so to speak. Kathleen posted in band a couple of significant articles regarding synthetic biology, and I'm going to build upon that with three more articles, all of which are specific to one topic, which is called PERSIST. That's an acronym. But this entire thing has to do with synthetic biology, which has really been the topic du jour since January of 2020 around here. So if you are a reader of Entangled magazine, I would remind you that we've covered this before, and let me get the actual cover, get the actual month and whatnot. Let's see, that is page 21. Okay, I can find my place again. So this is February of 2022, Entangled magazine, and you'll recognize it by the cover with the black background, and prominently in the foreground is the human brain, and then Superimposed in the background there are computers and digital information. That's the cover. That's February 2022, and I will be referring to that here as we go through synthetic biology. Specifically, in that issue of Entangled, we talked about the human brain cloud interface and the human brain computer interface. So we will get to that in the latter portion of tonight's live stream. But there is a lot packed into that issue regarding the brain-computer interface. And many times since publishing in February, I have referred to this interface specifically citing that articles published, peer-reviewed papers, have used the word supercomputer with respect to that interface with the human brain. Literally, they are laying out the systems for connecting human brains, and of course, this is those that have taken the mark of the beast. Their brains will be integrated with supercomputers. And even beyond what they're saying in these peer-reviewed papers with respect to supercomputers is my expectation, and I think I've laid a pretty good case out for this, is the quantum entanglement of neurons with quantum computers. So going beyond the supercomputer, which is based on transistor, to quantum computers. I'd like to read just a quick quote, and then we're going to go to scripture. This is from a peer-reviewed paper entitled Human Brain Cloud Interface. And this is a quote. It is conceivable that within the next 20 to 30 years, neural nanorobotics, that's all one word, neural nanorobotics may be developed to enable a safe, secure, instantaneous, real-time interface between the human brain and biological and non-biological computing systems, empowering brain-to-brain interfaces, brain-computer interfaces, and in particular, sophisticated brain cloud interfaces. Such human brain-computer interface systems may dramatically alter human-machine communications, carrying the promise of significant human cognitive enhancement. Now, this is a paper that was published by Ray Kurzweil and a gentleman by the name of Swan. I don't have his first name in front of me. Back in 2014 and 2016, respectively. Now, when they continue to talk about 20 to 30 years in the future, you all pretty much understand at this point that that's to be purposefully misleading. That is to mislead people into thinking none of this exists today, when in fact it does. And this entire issue, the February issue of Entangled Magazine, shows you contemporary peer-reviewed scientific papers that indicate this is going on in the present time. Now, this all, of course, leads us to the whole discussion of flipping of the switch, as I call it, of 5G and 6G. That is enabling, and more specifically, the 6G is enabling this brain-computer interface with supercomputers and the cloud to take place. I'd like to put up a graphic regarding that while I read our scriptures for tonight. If you'll take a look at this diagram, this is taken from the February issue of Entangled Magazine. I can't tell if that's in focus or not because my image here on my streaming software is very much smaller, but hopefully that is in focus for you. So tonight's scripture, I'd like to start with Matthew 24. This will be verse 37, verse 38. Actually, in 39. Verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they were oblivious until the flood came and swept them all away. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Revelation 9:6, verse 6. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will escape them. Two things going on here. As in the days of Noah, those that are vaccinated, those that are not saved, those that have taken the mark of the beast, they will not be watching for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They will be taken unawares. As it said in Matthew 24:37, this is what happened in the days of Noah. People were unaware. People were not watchful. They had no understanding, no expectation, right up until the day that Noah and his family entered the ark. They were oblivious. That's the word in Scripture, oblivious. We can apply that to people today. They are oblivious to what is going on. Now, Revelation 9:6, in that they are for 5 months seeking death and not finding it. We've referenced this as well many, many times. But I'd like to give you a different take on seeking death for 5 months that Kathleen presented to me earlier today. Again, I was outside repairing one of the front doors on the barn, and she came out and she said, "You know what the Lord just shared with me? That those that are seeking death for 5 months, being that they are the vaccinated, during that 5 months, those that are promoting the vaccines as being the end all, the be all, the final solution to pandemics, to viral infections, they will claim, leading up to this, that the viruses have been overcome, that the vaccines work 100%. In fact, they work so well that people will begin to think that they will be able to achieve immortality, that science has overcome death. This is something that the Kurzweils of the world, Ray Kurzweil, and others have been promoting. This whole discussion of transhumanism and uploading your consciousness and your memories, your thoughts into a computer, digitizing yourself, digitizing the contents of your brain, if you will want to put it that way, that through this brain-computer interface, this transhumanist agenda of achieving immortality is something that will be heavily promoted under the Antichrist. Lying signs and wonders. And in fact, believing that they are immortal because of these so-called vaccines, the genetic modifiers, the modification of DNA will be applauded. It will be those that have taken the mark of the beast meaning those that have had their DNA changed, their names no longer be being found in the book of life. God rejects them outright. He doesn't know them, doesn't recognize them, because their DNA is changed, which is their name. They believe in those days, as in the days of Noah, that they have achieved immortality. We also know that in the days of Noah, the reason for the flood was genetic engineering. This is why the Lord is soon to return. This is why people are oblivious. Give me a moment. I think Kathleen has something to add. Yes, dear.
Yes, no, I do. I wanted to just add that what I was saying to you earlier is that when this 5 months of people wanting to die, it's not just because of the skin lesions that will appear. The people who are vaccinated are going to run into whatever virus or illness comes upon them as a result of taking this vaccine is going to cause them to be in much discomfort and pain. And what they're going to do is to turn around those of us who know what's happening based upon God's word and the 5 months seeking death but not finding it. These people that are vaccinated are going to have all sorts of sicknesses come upon them, and they're going to say that the vaccines work so well that they are keeping these people alive despite the odds because their sicknesses are so severe. So they're going to say that their vaccines are working so well that they're keeping people alive even though people feel that they are going to die. So they're going to turn the tables and try and use what God is saying in His Word as a result of the human being augmented in a very negative sense. And Satan's going to have to try and play that a different way. So they're going to give the credit to the vaccines working so well that it's keeping these people alive longer. That's what I wanted to say.
I hope you could all hear that. So, in case you didn't hear it, let me summarize. During those 5 months in which people are breaking out in these grievous sores, which is a result of their DNA having been changed, those that are still promoting the vaccines will claim that the vaccines are keeping people alive despite these grievous sores and whatever other ailments they may be experiencing. They're not dying because the vaccines are miracle drugs. Again, the lying signs and wonders. So, a little bit different way of looking at it. So let's move into this synthetic biology if we can. All of you have seen these postings in Band already regarding this. I'll just quickly give the titles to these. We'll come back to them. Explainer: How Synthetic Biology is Redesigning Life. Synthetic biology, synbio, is a field of science that involves engineering life for human benefit. So we'll get into reading that in a moment. The other one is How Synthetic Biology is Changing Life as We Know It. So this, they build upon each other. But what I'd like to do is take you back in time. As I've said many times, if you want to know what they're doing today, you need to look at the past. In fact, I think I may see that. May have that here. There it is. To know the present, look to the past. That's my own little quotation. To know the present, look at the past. So let's go to the past. Back to 2018. This is from a conference entitled mammalian synthetic biology workshop. This is the proceeding of the 5th International Mammalian Synthetic Biology Workshop. This was May 5th of 2018. The title of this presentation, Endornase Based Off and On Switches for RNA, that's RNA level computation in mammalian cells. Again, if you will refer to the February 2022 edition of Entangled Magazine, and we've covered this in other issues as well, but we have specifically presented to you the evidence, the peer-reviewed papers, in which biological sensors and biological logic gates, biocomputing, by way of delivery of nano machines, nano robots, nano components, by way of the vaccines from the very first injection into the human body, digitizing the DNA, as I've been talking about since January of 2013, the digitizing of DNA. And these nano components and nano diamonds in particular are in both of my novels, Covert Catastrophe and 2048 Diamonds in the Rough, published in 2013 and 2014 respectively. So Endornase based off and on switches for RNA level computation in mammalian cells builds upon this whole synthetic biology. And you've heard me talk about in silico DNA and in silico viruses. We're going to see that as we go through these papers tonight. Let's go to this first paper. This is from MIT. Many synthetic biology circuits to date have traditionally been DNA-based. However, due to the complications in delivery and the possibility of integration, that means the DNA integrating into the host DNA, something that they claim they are trying to avoid. However, we've made the case repeatedly, and it's again from peer-reviewed evidence, that in fact the DNA and the messenger RNA, because of the retroviral integration actions of the genomic fragments of HIV-1 that are included in the vaccines, proven by the sequence of the virus and the sequence of the vaccines, integration into the host DNA, thus chimeric DNA, is produced. So that's just a side note. Let's start over. Many synthetic biology circuits to date have traditionally been DNA-based. However, due to the complications in delivery, meaning the DNA, and the possibility of integration, meaning into the host DNA, large efforts have turned to RNA-only circuits as a mechanism for biomedical applications. Again, this is 2018. This is preceding the pandemic. Unfortunately, the number of modules that act on RNA still falls short of DNA acting tools, such as transcription factors, resulting in limited examples of RNA level circuits that match the complexity, robustness, and therapeutic promise of their DNA-based analogs. Okay, I am going to read this rather long introduction. I apologize, it's a little technical, but this gives you the whole background, the whole setup to this synthetic biology. We're going to see something called PERSYST. And let me just go to my notes real quickly and I'll read this as our introduction and then I'll continue. Okay, PERSYST is an acronym for Programmable Endonucleic. So endonucleotic, T-I-C, nucleolytic. It's hard to say. Endonucleolytic. Programmable endonucleolytic RNA scission-induced, S-C-I-S-S-I-O-N, scission-induced stabilization switch. That's a mouthful. I hardly can even say it. Anyway, that's what the acronym stands for. We'll go back over that in just a second. As a step towards increasing the availability of RNA acting modules, we have developed and characterized a library of CRISPR-specific endoRNAs, that's all one word, they always pull all these things together. Endo meaning within, RNA as in messenger RNA, and then ASE at the end. EndoRNAs responsive RNA switches. Endonuclease cleavage typically results in transcript degradation. Therefore, we adapt this concept to demonstrate robust reporter knockdown for several CRISPR-specific endoRNAs when their respective recognition sites are placed in the reporter, UTR. We achieve off switches. This is the important part of it. The rest of it is just kind of archaic scientific jargon. Basically, what they're doing is they're taking those components that are RNA-based that they use in CRISPR for editing genes. And there are a number of different factors, a number of different RNA factors that they can set up in a library. Think of each of these CRISPR factors as a book, and they put all those books together in a library. So these can then be pulled off the shelf and used by different researchers for different types of gene editing procedures using CRISPR and these CRISPR editing factors. Each factor is specific to a gene. So if you want to activate a gene, enhance a gene in its expression of proteins or enzymes, or you want to silence a specific gene, or you want to eliminate a gene or add a gene, this is all part of that GCT process, gene cell therapy that we've been writing about so much. This is all of the personalized medicine, the precision medicine discussion, which is where healthcare already is involved in and moving forward. So these factors are assembled in a library, and that's basically what they're talking about so far, what I just read to you. Now, the important part that's relevant to us to grasp and hold on to is this whole concept of creating on and off circuits, logic gates. A logic gate is an on-off. A transistor is a logic gate. When it's on, it's allowing electrons to flow through the conductive wire that the transistor is wired into. When it is closing the gate is closed, electrons are not flowing through the transistor, it's off, on and off. That's very simplistic, but this is what they're doing internally in the human body. And when they are using CRISPR factors from a library of factors, they are literally turning on and turning off specific genes. These genes are functioning like transistors. This is not an analogy. This is the literal. And I think we've published this three times in three different issues of Entangled Magazine, the actual logic gates of the cell activity and the genes within the cells throughout the human body. Then when you have that logic gate on and off activity in the human body, and you connect the human cells by way of 6G to supercomputers, you can control the actions of the cells, more specifically control the actions of the genes, because that then controls what proteins and enzymes are expressed, and those are the action items that make our body function. So it's important to understand that 6G logic gate supercomputer, that whole thread. Now on top of that, as I always say, we have the neurons and the dendrites of the human brain operating by way of quantum entanglement, completely separate from 6G. That's just the Wi-Fi level. That's just for the cells. But for the neurons, quantum entanglement takes place with quantum computers. And we've discussed that before. So let's continue here with this paper from 2018 from MIT. We achieve off switches with dynamic ranges of over 300-fold change and limited crosstalk. We also developed a new RNA on-switch topology termed programmable endonucleolytic RNA scission-induced stabilization, known as PERSIST. This is a switch that responds to each of these same CRISPR-specific endoRNases. The PERSIST switch design includes repeats of a transcript degradation motif, which are cleaved off by these endoRNAs, leading to transcript stabilization and reporter expression. Similarly, these switches show robust responses with limited crosstalk. Finally, when off and on switches are combined, we demonstrate RNA-level ultra-sensitive behavior, a response that is vital for the design of more complex circuits, such as bistable switches and oscillators. Now, we published that, I think it was the December issue, I didn't look, but I think that's the December issue of Entangled Magazine, where we talk about these bistable switches and oscillators in addition to the on-off logic gate transistor activity. These switches will find use in the design of more complex RNA-based circuits, and the PERSIST switch in particular may enable sensitive detection of endogenous biomarkers such as miRNAs, proteins, and endoRNases. Okay? That's the setup. Now, let's move forward. I know this is kind of deep, but just the takeaway is understanding that they are building logic gates that are stable in the human body. They've been doing this for years. When a paper is peer-reviewed and is published, it represents typically years, 5 to 10 years of research going into what is then peer-reviewed, then published in the journals like Nature. Okay? This is the paper prior to peer review that was published in 2019, building upon what I just shared with you. PERSIST, a programmable RNA regulation platform using CRISPR endoRNases. This is a preprint. Now, I'm not going to read the abstract here because I'm going to jump over to the same authors, same information, but now it is appearing in Nature Communications as peer-reviewed. It is not preprint. I just wanted to share with you the evolution of this information, okay? So here it is again. PERSYST platform provides programmable RNA regulation using CRISPR endoRNases. This was published 11 May of 2022. So preprint, it was published prior to peer review November 1st of 2019. Then it finally was peer reviewed and published 11 May of 2022. Let's look at the abstract. It's fairly short. Regulated transgene expression is an integral component of gene therapies, cell therapies, and biomanufacturing. However, transcription factor-based regulation, upon which most applications are based, suffers from complications such as epigenetic silencing that limit expression longevity and reliability. See, what they're trying to do, obviously the name PERSYST, you know, gives you the idea. They're trying to stabilize these on and off switches. They're trying to make them persistent in the body. Constitutive transgene transcription paired with post-transcriptional gene regulation could combat silencing. But few such RNA or protein level platforms exist. Here we develop an RNA regulation platform we call PERSYST, which consists of 9 CRISPR-specific endoRNases as RNA-level activators and repressors, as well as modular on and off switch regulatory motifs. We show that PERSYST regulated transgenes exhibit strong on and off responses, resist silencing for at least 2 months. That's silencing of the gene. That's what they're saying here. The persistence is to prevent the silencing, which is the turning off. It's the canceling of the expression of proteins or enzymes that the gene normally will do. So when they're using CRISPR and they're editing and they're shifting the position, or they're adding or deleting genes, but specifically in the adding of genes, when they are doing this, they want the activity of the gene that is added or the gene that is activated, as opposed to silenced, they want that gene to persistently express a protein. Where have we heard that before? The so-called vaccines, the genetic modifiers that are overexpressing spike protein, glycoprotein 120, and it is overexpressing 100-fold greater than the natural expression of spike protein by the virus SARS-CoV-2. The vaccines are overproducing. So here we can see the background through PERSYST. We can see the background research that led up to this ability for genes that are included in these genetic modifier vaccines that persist such that they overproduce and continuously produce for more than just several months, but continue to persist in producing this spike protein. The result has been the adverse events, the adverse effects, the severe adverse effects, and the deaths that have occurred due to the overproduction of spike protein in the human body, such that post-mortem in the autopsy, they are finding spike protein where it should not be, meaning spike protein in the brain and all of the major organs in the body. When this happens, it leads to organ failure, major organ failure, kidneys shutting down, livers shutting down. We talked last month in Entangle magazine about the now manifestation of late of hepatitis in the liver. in the vaccinated. These are the kinds of things that happen because of overproduction of spike protein. This is what causes blood clotting in the brain, which just leads to strokes and death, but also to the leakage of blood in the brain, which also leads to strokes and death. In the increased intracranial pressure, squeezing the brain, causing death, a result of the overproduction, overabundance, overactivity of spike protein. We are seeing here this persistence in the expression of genes, the on switch that is in the permanent position of on in the vaccinated. You're seeing the background research right now that led to all of this. We show that persist regulated transgenes exhibit strong off and on responses, resist silencing for at least 2 months. Remember, this is preliminary information. All of this has been rolled over into the vaccines and can be readily layered to construct cascades, logic functions, switches, and other sophisticated circuit topologies. The orthogonal, modular, and composable nature of this platform, as well as the ease in constructing robust and predictable gene circuits, promises a myriad of applications in gene and cell therapies. That's the benevolent spin. You know, because we apply the patch 180 when we read these, the patch 180 tells us that this is malevolent. It's been weaponized. Okay. I won't bore you with a lot of the technical jargon in here. It goes through the whole process of building persist and how it operates. If you'd like to read that, that I believe is the article in Band. Let me just double check. Okay. That is not posted in Band. I apologize. The next two articles that I'm going to read are posted in Band. But we will put persist. You can look up persist, P-E-R-S-I-S-T. Look up persist in nature.com, or just type it in to your search engine and you'll find persist, and you can read the details for yourself. Okay? So again, this is development of RNA level switches that respond to RNA cleavage and resist epigenetic silencing. See if I can pull something else, because they always go through in these papers, they talk about their process. How did they arrive at this result? And I'm not going to bore you with all of that. Let me get down to the end. I'll put this in the June edition of Entangled Magazine. Let me get down to the bottom of this. It's a very long paper. All right, that's good enough. Let's move along. I'd like to begin with how synthetic biology is changing life as we know it. This is dated May 15th of 2022. What I just read to you about persist and CRISPR is the foundation for synthetic biology. Synthetic biology is nothing more than altering the DNA. There's a variety of ways that it can be altered, but synthetic biology, in essence, in summary, is the rearranging of the sequence, the ordering of DNA, more specifically, the reordering, resequencing of what comprises DNA, what comprises the genes, which are the base pairs, the nucleotides, okay? So the nucleobases, the base pairs, those are the building blocks of genes. And when you rearrange the genes, you end up with a synthetic arrangement of DNA. That is synthetic biology. This is literally producing, when you start with the nucleobases, when you take the base pairs, whether you're talking about plants or you're talking about animals, when you take the base pairs and you order them synthetically, and you do this using software in a computer, in silico ordering of the base pairs, you're not creating life. You're simply redesigning. You are synthesizing. No one can create life, but life as it exists can be modified. It can be reordered. Okay? Synbio, S-Y-N-B-I-O, Synbio. Let me make sure my screen looks appropriate. Yep. Take that off just to clean things up. Synbio innovation is moving at a breakneck rate. As I've pointed out to you, when you see the word accelerate or something like accelerate, breakneck rate, that is emblematic of Satan knowing he has but a short time. Synbio innovation is moving at a breakneck rate, and how we traverse this domain will have a significant impact on our future. Here's how synthetic biology is going to change life as we know it. Now, the backdrop to this is the entire discussion of Homo novus, new man, the new race of humans, the new race of beings. So all of this is how they have been able to produce in the present Homo novus, the genetic modifier, the vaccines. Synthetic biology is a branch of science that aims to improve and sustain human life by redesigning organisms. According to one estimate, global revenue from this rapidly rising field of study would reach $28.8 billion by 2026. They'll never get to 2026, okay? Although technology has the potential to revolutionize many facets of society, as Carmen Eng of Visual Capitalist explains below, things could go tragically wrong if synbio is exploited for evil or unethical purposes. I have another graphic to put up for you. This is from the paper that we're reading right now. And this one I'd like you to study in detail. Hopefully you can see that. It's pretty detailed. I'll put it in the magazine as well. Okay. This infographic, which is what I have posted now, looks at the benefits and drawbacks that this new branch of study has to offer. So I'll just read a little bit from this graphic. What is synbio? Synbio involves editing and redesigning the biological components, systems, and interactions that make up life. While genetic engineering transfers ready-made genetic material between organisms, synbio can build new genetic material from scratch. Now, when they say from scratch, we're talking about the base pairs, the nucleotides. Okay? You cannot create life. You cannot create it from scratch. You have to have the existing God-given, God-produced material first. Okay? So they're sort of starting two steps beyond what already exists that God created. Synbio has a wide range of applications that could transform society and the global economy as we know it. the potential risks of SynBio. Though potentially game-changing, the risks associated with SynBio could be disastrous for the global population if not managed properly. I'll just read the headers. Unintended biological consequences. Next, moral issues. Next one is unequal access. And finally, bioweaponry. What is synthetic biology? We've already discussed the foundations of SynBio in earlier posts, but here's a quick recap about what it is and how it functions. SynBio is a field of science that focuses on modifying and rebuilding biological components and systems in diverse species. SynBio is similar to genetic engineering, but it can produce new genetic material from scratch, whereas genetic engineering transfers ready-made genetic material across organisms. This branch of study has a slew of practical applications that have the potential to change our lives. I'm just going to jump through some of this very quickly. Number one, human health and performance. Number two, agriculture and food. Number three, consumer products and services. Number four, materials and energy production. The potential risks of SynBio. While synthetic biology has a lot of potential economic and societal benefits, it also has a lot of concerns to consider. We just went through those. I'm just going to jump ahead. Balancing risk and reward. According to synthetic biologist Christopher Voigt, most individuals will have consumed, worn, or been treated by a product made by synthetic biology by 2030. Now, isn't it interesting that that date, 2030, continues? I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of papers that Kathleen and I have read in which they continue to cite 2030. Well, you and I know none of this is going to reach 2030. The Lord's coming back very soon, so none of this even applies to 2030. But again, it is put out there the same date because this is coming from the same script. They want to continue to mislead people into thinking that none of this is going to happen until 2030. That it's going to take more development time between now and 2030. When in fact, when you reverse the misleading aspect of this, it means that this is already in place. I can say that because there are so many other published papers that show that all of this is already in place. So even in a scientific presentation, they are still misleading what typically would be a science-based audience. They're even misleading them by saying 2030. Continuing the article here, our decisions now will determine the future of SynBio. And how we traverse this domain will have a significant impact on our future, for better or for worse. Think about the whole concept of the synthetic human that is being pushed by the Ray Kurzweils of the world, by the Klaus Schwab of the world. Klaus Schwab has come out and said openly from the World Economic Forum, that our biology, I mean, I'm loosely paraphrasing, but he has said, our biology is already being radically changed and will continue to be radically changed. Sunday, I read to you a paper that said that biologically, these changes will result in indistinguishable changes. The production of synthetic life forms, Homo novus, in which their pronouncements and prognostications that this new race of beings will be indistinguishable from other humans. When Sanctuary, that organization, says that they are producing synthetic humans, synths, that are indistinguishable, those are their words, from humans, that means on the outside they are indistinguishable. But internally they are markedly, and I use that word, they are markedly different from God's original creation. They are rejected by God, and yet they persist in promoting this. Let's go to the second paper that was posted in BAN by Kathleen. Synthetic Biology, the $3.6 trillion science changing life as we know it. Okay, that we just read. This is kind of a rehash of the same article. Yep. But just a shorter version. I'm looking for the mention of in silico. Give me just a second here. It's a long paper, but I want to read this to you. Evaluating modularity. Now listen to this number. You've heard this number before. Evaluating modularity. This again has to do with persist and the on-off switches. The biological on-off switches. All 16 two-input Boolean logic functions. 16 logic gates. You can call those transistors if you want. 16. And they are two-input logic functions. Why is 16 such a big deal? Think geomancy. Geomancy is binary, two-input. Boolean logic functions are binary functions. The number 16 is from geomancy. The basic binary figures that are used for interpreting random dots made in the sand in geomancy, those figures that interpret the random placement of dots, there are 16 of those interpretive figures. Those figures are arrived at in a Boolean fashion. They're binary. Each of those 16 figures is built from a binary arrangement of random dots in the sand. It is order out of chaos. That's where that comes from. It comes from geomancy, which is divination. Order out of chaos. This is not by chance, it is not coincidence that they have 16 logic gates. This is because all of the binary that we see today in the programming of computers, the operation of the hardware of the computers, this includes quantum computers, is all binary. How did we get started with binary in computing? Did somebody just decide, hey, let's use 0 and 1. Let's use a binary system. No. Computing today as it has always been from the origins of computing, has been based upon divination, based upon geomancy, based upon the I Ching. The Chinese learned this through the trade routes, the exchange of cultural information by way of the trade routes from Mesopotamia in the Middle East. That transfer of that binary process of geomancy was carried over by the trade routes to China. And that manifests even today as the I Ching. This is the foundation of modern day computing. This is the foundation for the modularity of the persist process of rearranging genes and turning those genes into logic gates. The genes that comprise our DNA and our RNA, which is just a single strand of genes, DNA, of course, is a double strand of genes, chromosomes. They have taken what God has created, what He designed, perfectly designed, you and I, genetically, and they have applied Satan's technology. Satan's goal has been, ultimately, the goal is to kill all of God's creation. That includes the animals and the plant life. He wants to destroy even the earth. He hates God that much. He wants to kill all of God's angels. He thinks he can kill God, such as his hubris. I'll just say parenthetically, as a tangent, this is why CERN was built. It's a weapons program, weapons for killing God and his angels. I've said that publicly since 2013. That's why CERN exists. That's the bottom line. Besides, and in addition to opening the doorway to the abyss, the opening of the doorway to the abyss is for the purpose of engaging with the armies coming out of the abyss, engaging God's angels, God's army for the final battle, Armageddon. Because Satan believes in his hubris that he can win. So in this whole process of destroying what God has created, he is enslaving man by changing man's DNA. And the change is to utilize a divination process, a process coming from Satan, because in the Bible, in Scripture, it is strictly forbidden to employ divination as a large group. There are many types of divination. We've picked out geomancy because it is specific to modern day computing. But that forbidden process of geomancy, which is a binary process, utilizing 16 figures to interpret the random dots placed by what is known as a non-initiate or a non-skilled person, a lay person who prescribes the random dots, the understanding that that lay person is spiritually influenced by fallen angels, by demons, and that the skilled diviner likewise is influenced by the demons to interpret this and provide an answer. The interpretation uses 16 figures. So the fact that Satan is changing the DNA, utilizing the same divinatory system of 16 figures, binary figures, Boolean logic, which is the basic foundation for how computers operate logically, is a Boolean binary system. Converting human cells into binary operating logic gates. That's what all this means. So it really didn't surprise me when I saw the title here in this section of this paper regarding PERSYST, in which they say, finally, we demonstrate the modularity of the platform by combining 5' off and 3' on switches. This is with respect to the strand of DNA. 5' is the beginning, 3' is the end. When you go through reverse transcription, you start at the 3' end and end up at 5. 5 is the beginning, so the forward transcription is 5 to 3, reverse is 3 to 5. So finally, we demonstrate the modularity of the platform by combining 5' off and 3' on switches on the same transcripts to create all 16 two-input Boolean logic functions. Importantly, multiple recognition sites can be combined within the same 5' off and 3' on PERSYST motif. These are known as NOR, N-O-R, gates, and OR gates. Again, we've published all of this before, many, many issues back. Or within separate motifs on the same transcript. In fact, 10 of the 16 logic gates can be constructed with a single transcript, and they all perform well with dynamic ranges approaching 2 orders of magnitude. Overall, these logic gates compare well to previous post-transcriptional platforms, as well as DNA-based logic gates in mammalian cells. So, I just read that into the record, so to speak. We always then take it apart, we translate it, we apply it. All they're saying here is that they used to do this with DNA, but DNA has the problem, as they view it, that it naturally wants to integrate into the host DNA. And that can cause mutations, that can cause inheritable traits that can be devastating. So they've gone to RNA, thinking that RNA will not integrate. Well, naturally, RNA does not. RNA in the natural process remains within the cytoplasm, which is outside the membrane that surrounds the nucleus that envelops the host DNA. So outside of the nucleus, RNA exists and operates. However, in the discussion of the genetic modifier vaccines, the RNA is protected, it is enveloped, delivered into the cytoplasm, and then because of the retroviral action of the HIV-1 genomic fragments that are specific, to what a lentivirus retrovirus does, that RNA, it breaks out of its envelope in the cytoplasm and then is integrated into the host DNA in the nucleus. So in the natural, RNA is not a big deal. But when it is artificially introduced because it's protected in an envelope into a cell, the resulting process is unnatural. It is synthetic. So what you end up with in this whole context of taking what I've just described to you, the PERSYST process, the creation of these genetic circuits, these logic gates, 16, because this all comes from geomancy, is that the DNA now operates as a computer. It then produces, I'm making this very straightforward, then produces in the nucleus RNA, which then expresses a protein. All of that can be controlled externally by a magnetic field, electromagnetism, Wi-Fi, 5G or 6G. When we talk about the brain-computer interface, we're talking with respect to the cell, the interface, because it's not only the brain that is interfaced by quantum entanglement with a quantum computer, but come down from the brain to the remainder of the body, to the remainder of the cells in the body that have a nucleus, those cells then interface through 6G, because there is so much digital information that a cell can transmit. When you convert a cell into a logic gate computer, into individual transistors, Boolean function logic gates, when you convert cells to those, they then transmit and can receive, but let's talk about transmitting outside the body. So much information, you have to have the bandwidth, you have to have the throughput to handle that amount of digital information that is transmitted by these logic gate cells. 5G won't handle it. Only 6G. 5G, you can affect the behavior of the cells, but to extract by way of transmitting the digital information, the state of the cells, that's what they mean by the information. I'm kind of drilling down a little bit, the state of the cells. That information is so large, that amount of information, the quantity, 5G doesn't have the bandwidth to handle that transmission, only 6G. Now you can use 5G to direct the magnetic influence, the actions of those genes, the actions of the cells. You can use 5G to input those directions, if you will, those orders to control the cells. But to get the information out of the cells requires 6G. This is the whole discussion of the interface with supercomputers. Cells in the body interfacing with supercomputers. That supercomputer level is 6G. Okay? Again, this is all in Entangled Magazine. We've covered this before. It's just very interesting to see this discussion of persist being used with respect to RNA as opposed to DNA. The RNA, the reason that I'm picking it out here tonight is because this is directly the actions of the vaccines. This is drilling down deeper in making our case that not only is the DNA modified by all of the vaccines, whether they're DNA, RNA, or protein based, they all end up in changing the DNA. We've shared the papers to prove that. But all going forward in the gene cell therapy, GCT discussion of precision medicine, the focus of healthcare in its entirety is upon RNA. This is why I'm bringing to you Persist tonight, to build upon the two papers that Kathleen posted in Band. I said this on Sunday, and I said it on Thursday. The focus of healthcare is upon RNA. So that begs the question, why? Why the RNA? And I need to change the graphic there. Because Homo novus, as Kathleen was presenting to us and sharing with us on Sunday, Homo novus needs a different source of food. The food must be specifically synthesized, tailored for the new race of beings. This goes beyond the genetically modified. This is where the whole discussion on Sunday circled around plant-based vaccines. And I cautioned all of us into not thinking about this as vaccines. These are genetic modifiers delivered by plants. Plants as the vector, as the transporter, as the delivery mechanism. Their benevolent spin in using plants to deliver RNA into the human body rather than a needle is that there's no pain. You just consume it. You digest it. And you receive the RNA through that consumption of plants. The reason for this also is plants do not need to be ultra cold refrigerated. They can be maintained basically at room temperature. Now, this whole scenario of plant-based vaccines, plant-based RNA delivery, vaccine is the word, as I said on Sunday, that most of the population is familiar with. It's easy terminology to just say vaccine rather than saying RNA, because most of the population just won't comprehend when you say RNA. They understand, oh, it's a vaccine. Okay, that must be good for me. So they don't cite RNA as being delivered by the plants. But they say no needles and no super cold temperatures. So just deliver it that way. That whole scenario is under the Antichrist. But it is later. It is a goal. It is a fantasy of Satan. When the switch is thrown back on with Internet 3.0, post-reset, and under the Antichrist, then you will see the microneedle array patch deliver the RNA into those that have not been vaccinated. But going forward, the plants come in. In the continued delivery of RNA. So this builds upon what Kathleen was saying tonight, and that is to sustain Homo novus, even when they break out in sores, grievous sores, the claim will be, eat these plants that provide the vaccines. They will call them boosters. This will sustain you. This will cure you of your ailments. Just continue to eat these plants. Sunday, we also talked about the artificial meats, chicken and beef, the synthetic biology being applied to creating synthetic meat and synthetic plants. And chicken, synthetic chicken, lab-grown foods, if you will, food grown in a petri dish. They take the meat cells of a chicken or of a steer, and they reproduce those cells in the laboratory. called the bioreactors. They grow the cells. Well, those cells are synthetically rearranged. These are not the original cells, the original DNA, the original sequence, the ordering of the base pair nucleotides. These are reordered. Again, this is why I'm bringing PERSIST to you tonight, the RNA-based genetic modification, the synthetic biology. Why synthetic meat? And why the synthetic plants to deliver RNA? Because Homo novus cannot eat the natural foods. Even the genetically modified seeds that then grow crops that we see, like corn, for example, or wheat, these are GMOs. These are not heirloom seeds. These are genetically modified seeds. Homo novus can't even eat that going forward. We're talking under the Antichrist, post-reset. In that time frame, Homo novus will not be able to eat even the GMO foods. Why? Because they are RNA dependent. This is your takeaway for tonight. Homo novus is hooked on RNA. You've already seen the booster shots promoted now for 2 years. Why? Because like a drug addict, the vaccinated are dependent on their next fix. What is the fix? They need a booster of RNA. When we talk about the grievous sores and they seek death for 5 months and cannot find death, we're interpreting that as they need a booster of RNA. The booster of RNA is promoted as a way to treat for the grievous sores. That their so-called immortality, because scripture says they seek death in all its forms and do not find it. That's immortality. But it also says in the same breath, they will not find it for 5 months. That's a limited immortality. But immortality in that time frame. This is because they are being given lab-grown meat and lab-grown or genetically modified, if you will, plants, all of which, the meats and the plants, delivering RNA, which they need to sustain life, Homo novus. This is why all of healthcare is focused on RNA, because the RNA is the drug that those addicts, Homo novus, are dependent upon. So RNA is pushed. Right now it's pushed to the general population at large, vaccinated and unvaccinated. The whole gene cell therapy is pushed upon all of humanity. That this RNA therapy is the cure-all. It is the end-all. It is the final solution to all of man's problems. But for the vaccinated, they would die without it, without their booster. It's just like the drug dealer on the street providing the next fix, and that fix is RNA. They're hooked on it. So the background to all of that is PERSIST, which results in delivering RNA, that results in digital DNA, digitized DNA, which I've been talking about since January of 2013, my very first publicly published article was Digitized DNA, in which I laid out the entire in silico process. Now it's coming home to roost in the form of Homo Novus. So we'll continue to provide you with background research papers like this to show you how we got to where we are now. Not you and I as Homo Novus, that's not what I'm saying, but how humanity at large got to where it is today, which is a return to the days of Noah, which is the days of genetic modification, synthetic biology. I'm calling it SIN, SynBio, in the days of Noah. And yet, those that are vaccinated, which is over 70% of the global population now, to borrow the word from Revelation 9, they are oblivious to the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They are oblivious to the fact that the reset is so near. The enthroning of the Antichrist is so near. They are oblivious to this. And therefore, they are oblivious to the return of Jesus Christ. But everyone, Homo Novus and non-Homo Novus, when Jesus Christ returns, they will recognize him and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. You and I will welcome, obviously, his return. Homo Novus will decry, will hate the return of Jesus Christ. But they will be surprised. No man knows the day or the hour, but we are commanded to pay attention, to be watchful, and to study so that we know the season in which he will return. And you and I know the season. We know that we are already in the tribulation. We looked at famine in the last live stream. We know we are in the tribulation. Look at the supply chain as your barometer, as I call it, as to how close we are to the reset. I just want to make a note about China right now, Shanghai. Today, they began loosening some of the restrictions in Shanghai. They're allowing one person per household to go to the grocery store and, in equivalent U.S. dollars, to spend some $70 or $75 is their limit in the store to buy necessities and then return home. That's all that they are allowed to do in Shanghai. But they're beginning to loosen the restrictions. Public transportation is not operating in Shanghai. Shanghai is it, I think it is pronounced. What was the other? Look at my notes here. Beijing, that's what it was. Beijing is still experiencing limited cases of COVID as they're describing it, but Beijing is not completely shut down, but they do have existing restrictions on travel and what they can do. I mentioned China because obviously that is the manufacturing source and the shipping source for a great deal of the world's products with respect to the supply chain. I made mention of this last week regarding the price of diesel fuel, and that is expected to hit $10 a gallon here very soon. The ripple effect that has, not only for the farmers, but for the truckers and everyone else that makes use of diesel. Obviously, inflation is moving at breakneck speed. It is being accelerated like so many other things. This because Satan knows he has but a short time. The world is rushing headlong towards the reset. Watch the supply chain developments. The whole thing with Russia and Ukraine is fabricated. Today, Congress approved $40 billion going to the Ukraine. I've heard many commentators regarding the negative to the expenditure, to the sending of $40 billion, saying and citing many examples as what that $40 billion could do here in the United States. When we look at the huge numbers of homeless in the major cities in the United States, when we look at the price of fuel, the cost of food, the runaway inflation, what could $40 billion do to reverse all of that? Now, in case you weren't aware of it, we are actually exporting gasoline and diesel. I said this on Sunday and I said it last week. We are exporting gasoline and diesel to Ukraine. It's for military and humanitarian purposes, along with $40 billion for military and humanitarian aid and for housing of refugees. Well, you know this is all prescribed. You know that this is all engineered. This whole thing with Ukraine and Russia is to precipitate the complete collapse of the supply chain. All of these effects here in the United States, shortages of fertilizer, increasing cost of diesel fuel, and so forth and so on. All prescribed. It is precipitated. The Ukraine-Russia conflict is a catalyst. It's like striking a match and lighting the fuse to the dynamite. This is precipitating the reset. It's all prescribed. So be prudently prepared. It is inevitable. It is the evidence of evil that is rampant around the world now. It is evidence that Satan has been given by God himself a short time. Satan is running amok. There's no reversing this, but this is not outside of God's plan. This is God's plan. What does it lead to? It leads to the final judgment. This is purposeful. Humanity has been warned for thousands of years. Your only way to the Father, the only way to salvation, the only solution, the only correction for the fallen state of man is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Humanity's been given plenty of time, plenty of warning. Now it's judgment time. That's why this is all happening and why it will not be turned around. But as we have been discussing for so long, we as saved individuals, God's children, we are like the Israelites. That was a type and shadow for today. We are the Israelites leaving Egypt. We have left Egypt. God is providing for us and will continue to provide for us as he provided for his children in the desert for 40 years. And by the way, they took their animals with them and the animals were provided by God. Same here. Nothing to be fearful of. We are to be prayerful. Okay. These are sobering times. I've not been real gregarious. I've not been real, bubbly and outgoing and kidding around very much in the last couple of weeks of live streams, because this, as you, I know, feel the same as I, this is very sobering. But that's different than being fearful. It means that we're taking this seriously. We're paying attention. We're studying what's going on. We're looking at it critically. We're thinking about it critically. We're exercising our brains rather than allowing our, through fear, our brain activity to shift down to the brainstem level. Most of the world is, and more predominantly, in a much more enhanced fashion, they are going to be operating at a brainstem level. Fight or flight, survival mode, as the supply chain continues to crumble and food becomes more and more scarce. This is what brings down governments, famine. People are going to be much more fearful. And you can extrapolate and expand that statement. People are going to be more fearful. You know what they're going to be doing. But you and I need to maintain this focus of critical thinking. That is provided to us through prayer. That is provided to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to stay above this. As we like to kind of joke around and say, this is Patch Airlines. We cruise at 144,000 feet. We can see the big picture. That allows us to not operate out of fear, but to operate through critical thinking, to see what has been prescribed and how the prescription is playing out. We stay above it. Stay above the fray. Engage in prayer. The most powerful weapon system on the planet. God bless you all, and good night.